Okay, we're going to go first into the Chumash just to kind of put ourselves into the framework of what's going on here. So let's go to the beginning of Perek Tzayin, chapter 16 in Kairach, and let's just do a quick read through so we get ourselves kind of situated here. So Vayikach Kairach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi v'dasan v'arir ben Eliyah v'ayin ben Peles ben Eruvin. So these individuals, Kairach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi, and Dasan and Avir of the sons of Eliyah, and On the son of Peles, the sons of Reuven, and they rose up by Yakumu lifnei Moshe, Vanoshim bnei Yisrael. They rose up before Moshe against Moshe with men from bnei Yisrael. How many men? 250. Who were these people? Nasiya, Eda. They were leaders of the congregation. Anshe Shem. These were not, you know, just your regular Tom, Dicks, and Harrys. They were prominent people. They gathered against Moshe and Aaron. They said to them, Rav Lachem, you have taken too much for yourselves, too much honor, too much prominence. Because the entire congregation of Israel is holy. Hashem, and Hashem is in their midst. And why do you raise yourselves above the assembly of Hashem? Why are you putting yourself in this higher bracket? Moshe heard their complaint, and he fell upon his face. And Moshe spoke, and he spoke to the entire congregation. He said, in the morning, Hashem will make known who is qualified to be his and who is holy, and he will bring close to him. And whoever he chooses, he'll bring near to him. So Moshe said, okay, I hear you. We're going to submit this to Hashem to adjudicate this. And this is how it's going to be done. Zais asu. This is what you should do. Take for yourselves fire pan, Kairach and his entire congregation. We're in Pasuk Zayin now. Usnuva hen Eish, place fire in them. Vesimo alehen kiteres lefnei Hashem. Machar, but you'll put incense upon the fire pans before Hashem tomorrow. V'haya ish ha-sheyivcha Hashem hu ha-kadesh. And whoever Hashem will choose, he will be the holy one. And then we're going to silence this issue of Rav Lachem b'nei Levi. You have taken too much upon yourselves, the sons of Levi. We're going to let Hashem decide this. Moshe said to Kairach, Shemun up b'nei Levi, listen. Ha'at mikem ki hivdil elokei Yisrael eschem me'adas Yisrael. But a little bit of pitting for yourselves that Hashem has separated you from the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Lahakriv eschem elav, la'avad yisavad yis mishkan Hashem, to bring you closer to Hashem, to perform the services of the mishkan Hashem. The la'amayv mo edel l'sharsam, and to stand before the congregation to serve them. Ayakriv eschem, there's kol ha'chechem elav, l'kashim gam ha'kohuna. So Moshe says, Levi, Bnei Levi, Hashem brought you here with all of you. All of
that's your the Zoom link. That's the Zoom link. She's on now.
Hashem brought you all close to him to serve him. And now you're asking to be Kehanim as well? Lachain ata v'chol adascha ha'noidim al Hashem ba'are mahu kisalinu alav. Here for you, the congregation are gathered against Hashem. And what is Aaron that you rail against him? What do you want? And then Moshe sent for Dasan and Avira. And they said to him, Loi na'ale, we will not go. And they answered in a very, very, really despicable way. They said, Hama'at, is it not enough? Is it but a pittance? Keli sonom erzavas kol v'vash la misenu b'midbar, that you brought us up from a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert? Now you have to reign over us. You have to rule over us. You want to exercise power over us. And they continue in this way. And they say in Pasuk Yudalit, You haven't even brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey. You have not given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. If you put these people, eyes out, even then we won't go up to you. And at this point, now they had really pushed Moshe to the edge, and Moshe was extremely distressed, and he said to Hashem, "Al tefen el min chasam, do not turn to their offerings. Don't recognize their offerings. Like Amar echad mehem nasasi b'lachari eispes echad mehem. Not a donkey did I take from them, nor have I done ill to any one of them." Somebody has to mute themselves, please, so we can hear. Thank you so much. Vayemim Moshe Kerech, Ata v'chol adaska heyu lufnei Hashem, Ata v'heim v'aren machar. Moshe said to Kerech, this is it. You and your entire congregation have to present yourselves before Hashem, you and all of them, and Aaron tomorrow, each of you. Chu ish machtosai unusatam aleim keteres. Each of you is going to take a fire pan. You're going to place incense into it. V'kraftem lufnei Hashem. You're going to offer it before Hashem. Ish machtosai. Chamishim u'masayim machtos. 250 fire pans. Atav Aaron ish machtosai. V'yikhu ish machtosai. And each one of you will take your fire pan. V'yinu aleim eish. V'yasim aleim keteres. You're going to put fire in them. You're going to put the incense in it. V'yamdu pesach oil mayit. And you'll stand at the entrance of the tent of meeting the oil maid, Umayshe Aaron along with me and Aaron. V'yakal aleim kairach es kola eda al pesach oil maid, v'yerek v'yed Hashem es kola eda. So kairach congregated against them, the entire congregation, by the oil maid, and the glory of Hashem appeared to all of them. And this is where we're coming closer to what we're going to stop on. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe bel Aaron lemer. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron at this point, and he said, "Hibad lu mitoicha eda hazais. Separate yourself from among this congregation. Va'achale oisam kiraga. And I will annihilate them in one moment. Vayiplu al pneihem. They fell on their faces. Vayimru. And they said, Kel elekei haruchais l'chol basar. Almighty, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Ha'ish echad yecheta. If one man sins, va'al kol ha'eda tiktzeif, shall you be angry with the entire congregation?" Okay. So we have this agitator, this instigator, a cousin of Moshe, who really, really riles up a large group, 250 men, and not just any men, men of great note, men of great prominence, and expresses himself in not just derogatory, but in a very, very painful and hurtful way, repudiating, in fact, everything that Moshe did for them and casting Moshe in a terribly negative light. And now at this moment where Hashem says, I'm going to eradicate your enemy. I'm going to take out these people that are fighting against you. Moshe says to Hashem, wait a minute. Because one person is doing this, you're going to destroy all of them? How can you do this? And now we're going to look at this Rashi. So we're in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chav Beis. 16:22. That's our Rashi that Reb is going to address in this sicha. So let's look at Rashi. Kel elokei haruchis. That's the first part of Rashi. Rashi says, Yedeya machshavos, knower of thoughts. Ein midaska kemidas basar v'dam. Your attributes are not like the attributes of a mortal. Melech basar v'dam, a mortal king. Some of his kingdom acts scurriously or despicably. Actually, the word like sirchon means like to ferment and to foment and to agitate and rail against someone. So if this happens to a regular king, a mortal king, he wouldn't know who is the instigator. Therefore, when he gets angry, he punishes them all. But before you, all thoughts are revealed. V'yodeya ata mihachote. And you know who the sinner is. That's the first part of Rashi. The second part of Rashi, the Dibur HaMaschil is ha'ish echad, if one man. And Rashi teaches, hu hachote, if one man sins, va'ata al kol ha'aida tiktov, and you will be angry with the entire congregation. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in answer to this question, God says, yafe amartem, you've spoken well. You're well spoken. Ani yodea umodia ki chata, mi chata umi lo chata. I know and will make known who sinned and who did not sin. Okay? Ad kan lashon Rashi, this was Rashi. Now we're going to look at the sikha. In the first paragraph, Rebbe brought down the Rashi. So we're going to begin with the second paragraph. So we have one more person to mute themselves. Thank you. Okay. Vihine bepashtos. So the Rebbe says, it seems that, simply speaking, kavanoso shel Rashi hi l'dayeg she'ein l'parish elokei haruchos b'muvon shel neshamos. The simple explanation of what Rashi is trying to do here is to tell us that when it says in the pasuk, when Moshe says to Hashem, Kel Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, Almighty, the God of the spirit of all flesh, you might read it that he's speaking to Hashem, who vivifies, who gives neshamos to every body, to every person. But Rashi is coming to tell us that Elokei Haruchos should not be understood b'muvan shel neshamos, that we shouldn't take the word ruchos as referring to souls, ela b'muvan shel machshavos, but you should understand it as God, the God who knows all thoughts. I'm so sorry. I need one person to mute themselves because there's just a lot of noise and it's hard to teach and to learn. Thank you. Uperish Elokei Haruchos. So Rashi explains that Elokei Haruchos means Elokim Hayodea Machshavos, that God knows everybody's thoughts. Ukemoshe Matinu Beparsha Hakodemes, and the Rebbe brings down that in last week's Parsha, in Parsha Shlach, we have a pasuk that says Va'avdi Kolev Ekev Haisa Ruach Acheres Imai. Hashem says, and my servant Kolev, because he had a different ruach, and there it means shetebas ruach, the word ruach there hanemar ba in yana machshava, there it means that Kolev had a different thought process, not a different kind of a soul. He had a different thought process from the other the and the proof for this is Rak lepeirus them uvenes hashaychu shehatcholas hadibor elokei haruchos lemashakos lachareze. It's only by understanding the term elokei haruchos as meaning God who knows everybody's thoughts, and we see the connection to what comes after this, which is that Moshe says haish echad yechdev al kola ida tiksef. If one man sins, you're going to get angry at the whole congregation. Because it's only if you understand yodea, I'm sorry, Elokei Haruchos, it's only if you understand it. Okay, somebody's asking to point out where we are in the Sikha. We're in the third paragraph from the top of the Sikha. It's the first paragraph on the left side of the first page. It begins ki lefish HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea machshavos harehu yodea mihu hachote v'al mi liktof. Because Hashem knows all thoughts, he knows who is the sinner and upon whom to get angry. Aval im nifarish Elokei haneshamos, but if we were to understand the word ruchot as referring to souls, neshamot, enu muvan. Mahu inyano shel Elokei haneshamos kehakdama l'mashakosov ha'ish echad yechta. Okay, so far the Rebbe is saying that we understand that Rashi is trying to explain to us don't understand the words Elokei HaRuchos as God of all souls. Understand it as God of all thoughts. God who can read everybody's thoughts. I'm so, so sorry, but somebody still has to mute themselves.
I think there might be a way to mute everybody. Do you have that ability?
Alas, I am technologically challenge to the extreme, but let me see. I'm going to look under participants, manage participant. Ah, mute all. Thank you. It's not helping. Okay, it's better. Okay, thank you everybody for that hack. Okay. You see that? You're hearing something? I'm still hearing something.
Wow. What's her name? She's saying a sikha. Mm-hmm. No, she's not here. She's in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If somebody else knows what to do, be my guest. I'm gonna try to continue. Okay. Vizehu Shirashi Mamshich. In Midascha Kemidas Basavar Dam. We're on the second paragraph on the left side of page 51 if you're working from the original Sikha. And this is what Rashi continues, and he says that your attributes are not like the attributes of a person, of a mortal. Aval ata hulu, but you, yodea ata mihachote. But since you know all thoughts, you know who is the sinner. Bahainu, Shalafi Pirushose, Shalakeha Ruchas Hainu Yodea Machshavos, Muzbar Hemsha Bekasu, Bezeo Hakrach Lefeirusho. So when you understand that Hashem is the knower of all thoughts, we understand what Moshe is saying. You know who the sinner is, and therefore, God, I'm asking you, why would you seek to punish and annihilate everyone when you can very, very easily know exactly who it is that can be punished? And here the Rebbe asks a number of questions on this Rashi. Mitzarech lahavin, and we have to understand, Aleph. Lama l'Rashi l'hazbir hadavar, she'em yidascha kemidas basar adam, al yidei hamashal shel melech basar adam b'chulim. Ezo havhara v'tosefes biur yesh al yidei mashal zeh. So one of the things that the Rebbe taught us about learning a Rashi properly is that there is no extra word. There's no extra word that Rashi uses. He's extremely parsimonious in words. And therefore, the first question is, why is Rashi being so verbose here? Why giving us a parable? Why giving us a mashal? After all, this is not a terribly difficult thing to understand, that God, the creator of all, can know our thoughts, as opposed to the fact that we can't know people's thoughts. Why does Rashi find it necessary to give us a mashal? Beis. Im yesh b'mashal zeh, ezu hasbara ba'inyin, v'lachei mevim. And if there is in this mashal a certain explanation, and that is why Rashi is bringing it, because it's so necessary. Mahu hatam shelo hiviu Rashi muktam b'Torah. If this adds so much to understanding this concept that Hashem can know and we don't know, and comparing and contrasting the finite and the infinite, why did Rashi bring this much earlier in Parshas Vayera? The Tainas Avram Avinu, when Avram Avinu had a complaint to Hashem, Hadome lechor latinus Moshe binyanenu ubemele gam sham matim lahavi mashal zeh. And it seems that what Avraham Avinu was complaining to Hashem about in Parshas Vayera is very similar to what Moshe was complaining about here. So it would have been very fitting for Rashi to bring that mashal in Parshas Vayera, where Avram was complaining binogei listom. He was complaining in the story of Sodom, Ha'af Tispet Tzadik in Russia, are you also going to include and gather into the punishment the one who is righteous with the one who is wicked? And you remember, Avram really, really rallied for his people, and he railed against Hashem punishing everybody, but Rashi doesn't bring us the mashal there. Gimel, the third question. Hare Geam Melech Basar V'dam, Be'im Moshel B'Tzedek V'Yosher, and even a mortal king, if he is a king who reigns over his people with righteousness and the proper way, if one person sins, why would he punish many people? What he would do if he is an upstanding, righteous, just monarch, he will appoint somebody to investigate. He'll appoint a judge and he'll investigate and he'll find out mi hachote, who is the one that sinned. And even if it's impossible to find who is actually the sinner, Hare Adayan Dorish Bir, he will still have to find out what to do. But is it possible to say that a righteous and just monarch, just because he can't find out who it is that is actually the sinner, Yanish Melech Yashar Holech Es Kulam, that he will actually unleash his wrath and he will punish everybody? Question Dalit. Pasach Rashi Balashon Sircha. Rashi opens up his comment by saying that there were people who were obnoxious, who were scurrilous, who were despicable towards God. Umisayim Balashon Chote. And he ends with using the term sinner. So one is kind of somebody who's giving attitude, who's not showing the proper respect. And the other is somebody who's a sinner. So why does Rashi begin his commentary with one type of description and ends with a description that's much more definitive, chote? Hey, Cain, Messiah Rashi, eino yodea mi hachote. Rashi says, he doesn't know who is the sinner. Lashon yachid, the sinner. Udelo kehapsicha shesarcha alav miksas medina. But at the beginning of Rashi, he begins by saying that a small part of the nation of medina means the kingdom. Let's say that a small part of the kingdom were rebellious against the king. But at the end, he says, "Eni yodea mi hachote," and he kind of singles into one, he zooms into one person. So before we go further, let's review the five questions very, very quickly. Why does Rashi bring a parable here? That's not his way to use extra words. It doesn't seem like this is such a difficult concept that we actually need to have the parable brought. If it was very important to bring a parable, to bring a mashal, why not bring it in Parshas Vayera? We had a similar question that Avraham Avinu was asking of Hashem. Why not bring it there? Gimel. Even forget about Hashem. Forget about the Melech Malchim, Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that knows everybody's thoughts. But a Melech Basar V'dam, a mortal king, if he is just, if he deals with his people righteously, there would never be a situation where because one person sinned, he's going to wipe out everybody. Finally, to what seem to be smaller but very significant questions, the Rebbe questions why Rashi begins with the Lashon, with the terminology of Sarcha, which means kind of to rebel, to act in an obnoxious manner, to foment rebellion, but ends with the term for sinning, Chote. Now, the term sarcha is much more amorphous. It's more open to interpretation. It's not clear what is being done. Chote means a sinner. It's much more unequivocal. And the fifth question is that Rashi begins with talking about a large number of people engaged in this type of rebellion, but ends by saying, Eini yodea mi hachote. The king wouldn't know who is actually the sinner. So why this asymmetry? Why this discrepancy? Okay. Now, I want you to look at footnote 11, because this is important to understanding what the Rebbe is going to teach us here. So footnote 11, the Rebbe brings down that Rashi seems to be basing what he's saying on the Medrash Tanchuma, so, and also is brought down in Bamidbar Rabbah. And there the terminology is Melech Basar V'dam Shemordu Alav B'nei HaMedina. There the term that's used is Eretz, is that that's an unequivocal term for rebellion. Okay, like I said, Sarcha is open to interpretation. It can mean a whole gamut of things, from much less serious to more serious. But to be morid b'malchus, that's always serious. Okay, so I think that that's important to look at. And the Rebbe brings down more about this in Ha'ara 12, in footnote 12 and 13, where he brings down that in the Medrash, it uses the same term at the beginning, it uses the same term throughout. It's all symmetrical. Rashi is asymmetrical. Now we're going into Os Beis, the second part of the Sicha, at the very bottom of the right hand column on page 52. Achar kach, ma'atik Rashi atebos ha'ish echad. Now Rashi brings a second pirush on the words that follow in the pasuk under the words ha'ish echad, should one man, umefarish, hu hachote, this one man is the sinner, va'ata al kol ha'eda tiktov, but you're going to get angry at the whole congregation? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yafa Amarta. There's actually, the Rebbe brings down in a footnote that it's not clear if it should be Amarta or Amartem. If Hashem is speaking only to Moshe and Aaron, either way, Yafa Amarta or Amartem, Ani Yodea Umodia, I know and I will let know, Hi Chata Umi Lo Chata, who sinned and who did not. The Gamba Zetzarach Lahavin. And the Rebbe says, and here too, there are five things we need to understand. Question number one. Mahi Kavanas Rashi Perushoze. What is Rashi trying to, what's his intention here? What is he trying to illuminate? What's he trying to teach us? Shebemakom Ha'ish Echad Yechta, Shenemar Bikra. On the pasuk tells us that Ha'ish Yechta, that one person sinned, and Rashi tells us, Hu Hachote, he's the sinner. It seems like what is Rashi really? What novel ideas Rashi adding? Vahosif tevas, and then he adds the word v'ata and you. Kola eda tiktov. Hari lechara ein bazek kol tosefet bir v'akasov. It seems that Rashi hasn't yet added anything to what the pasuk holds, which we know can't be possible. So it means the onus is on us to understand. Luckily, the Rebbe tells us what the onus is on us to understand, because we would not have figured out by ourselves. And will also tell us what the answer is. Beis. Be'im kavadas rashi lefarish be'eze ofon shuhu masha kasa ba'ish echad yechta v'gam al kol ha'ida tiktov hava lo lahati gam tebos elu o al kaponim l'ramzam. And if Rashi wanted to tell us something about the whole continuum here, so look back into the pasuk. Okay, the pasuk reads Ha'ish echad yechta b'al kol ha'eda tiktov. So if Rashi wants to insert some new idea here, he should have brought down all of these words in the deeper hamatchil, but instead he just brought down the word Ha'ish echad. And he doesn't even hint to the rest of the word that he's explaining by putting v'gomer, etc., which he could have easily done. So, of course, now here the Rebbe is teaching us that even when Rashi adds v'gomer into a deeper hamaschil, he's teaching us something. Gimel. Ma kavanas Rashi bazeh shemosif ha'inyan amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu yofe amarta, etc., etc. What's really Rashi's intention in what he does seem to be adding, which is that Hashem said to Moshe, you spoke well, etc., etc. Now, in Dalit, the Rebbe says like this, B'ma'ana l'tanas Moshe, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu el Moshe, in answering Moshe's complaint, Hashem says to Moshe, Ha'alu misaviv l'mishkan korach dasa b'avira. So Hashem tells Moshe what to do. Look at Pasuk Chav Dalet. Go back to the Chumash now. So Hashem clearly is saying to Moshe that there are three perpetrators of the crime here. There are three people. It's Korach, it's Dasan, and Avira. Ba'al Pizeh. Eina muvan, Masha Kasav Rashi. So then it's not clear what is Rashi saying. When Rashi says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yafa Amarta, Hainu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maskim L'Taina Bodhi Ha'ish Echad, it seems that God is agreeing with Moshe that there's only one person who's a sinner, Ha'ish Echad. And these are the words that Rashi brings down in the Torah. Am I the only one who's hearing all that interference? Let me try to do this again. Okay, better? Okay, let's see if this works. Okay, now the only problem is I had to do something I didn't want to do, which is that for me to do that, I had to make it so that nobody can unmute themselves now. So if you want to unmute yourself because you want to ask something or say something, so put it in the chat and it'll come up and then I'll change the setting.
I think that anyone who wants to unmute themselves is able to do so still.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. Wonderful. Okay, I'm learning. This is all a learning curve for me. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Okay, I think it'll be easier now. So let's go back to this question. So the Rebbe is asking here that we see that after Moshe had this complaint, the Eibishter told him to bring three people, not one person, right? So it seems, let's go back to the beginning. So according to this, it's not clear what Rashi is saying. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yafa Amarta. Hashem says, you spoke well. Hainu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maskim L'Tainas Moshe Ha'ish Echad. It seems like Hashem is saying, you're right. There's only one person who's an instigator here, who's a sinner. And these are the words that Rashi brings down. Ha'ish echad yechte brings these down in the Divra Matril. But it seems that in the very next pasuk, Hashem is telling Moshe, no, it's not one person. It's three people. That
breakfast.
Spoke too soon. Question, hey. Ani yodea. L'chora miyutar. It seems that this is extra for Rashi to include the words that Hashem is talking about himself. I know. Ki hakidu shulak v'ani modia. The novelty should only be that Hashem says, I will let know. The whole premise of this is that Hashem knows everything. So why does Rashi have to include ani yodea? The chiddush should just be ani modia, I will let know. Ubifrat sherashi mosif ze aloshon medrash. Especially because Rashi is adding this of his own accord, and he's not taking this, he's not importing this in his parish from the medrash. So the medrash says ani modia. And Rashi adds, ani yodea v'ani modia. I know and I will let know. Why does Rashi do that? Again, we're operating under the premise that every single word is counted and measured. Why put that in when we all know that Hashem knows everything? And here the Rebbe kind of sums up, b'chlalos ha'inyan kasha. In general, this is difficult. Why? Because b'psukim ha'kodmim, and this is why I wanted to read all the psukim that preceded this pasuk, because in the previous psukim, niskar kama pa'amim shebimachlokas korach al Moshe v'al Aaron ishtatfu anashim rabim. Because in all the psukim leading up to this, we get the very definite impression that there's a lot of people, that there's a groundswell involved in this insurrection against Moshe. And it's always in the plural, vayakumu, va'anoshim bnei Yisrael chamishim ha-masayim, 250 people, 250 of the most prominent people, that's a critical mass. Vayikalu, again, plural, al Moshe v'al Aaron. Moshe diber el Korach vel kol adato, to Korach and his whole congregation. V'ochiach gam et kol adato. The Rebbe is going through all the, No matter what I do, I can't get around this. Zip, are you trying to do something to help me? He's trying. Okay, we're gonna plug along here. So the Rebbe is bringing down that over and over the psukim. It's all in the plurals, and we get the definite idea that there's a lot of people involved in this. Shekhar Zebiyadam Sirchon Revi. This is the fourth time Rashi says earlier that they came against Moshe, that they engaged in a despicable act against Moshe, which began with the Chet HaEgel. Shemikol ze mucha, shelo echad tovat chata b'machlok ezu. So it's very clear to see from all of the psukim that precede this that it wasn't just one person that was sitting. Gam lefi dato shel Moshe. Even according to Moshe's opinion, there's much more than one person sinning. Ve'ech omar Moshe ha'ish echad yechta. So how did Moshe, after all of this, still say to Hashem with such tremendous passion and indignation that only one person is sinning? How can you punish everyone? Gimel. We're in the third part of the Sicha, and now the Rebbe is going to resolve all of these questions. Babir Becholze, and the explanation to all of this is Yerusho ala pasuk Bayikahel aleim korach Shelefnei pasuk ze. In the previous pasuk, when it says that Korach gathered, Rashi writes, Holach Ethel Hashot. Holach went around to the different tribes. Upita Osam, Kitburatim, Sha'alai, Levadi Ani Makbit. He tried to kind of talk them into joining him, and he said to them, you think I'm only fighting for my own right? You think I'm only fighting for my own honor? Ani Makbit Ella Bashvil Kulchem. No. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Kippa. No. Okay. I should give up, right? But it's just so distracting. So Korach is saying to these people,
you have the ability to try to mute everyone again. I'm just trying to private message the people that aren't muted.
I keep trying to.
Oh, okay. Someone who was unmuted just muted themselves.
Thank goodness. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Okay. So he went to the different Shvatim and he said to them, he basically ran a campaign. You know, he went to the crowds and he said, what do you think? You think this is about me? You think this is personal? It's not about me. Ela b'shvil kulchem. It's all about you. It's all about your honor. Ad shenitpatu kulam. Until he was able to actually influence them all. He was able to talk them into joining him. Hainu. Shekorach hu asher pita es anshei ha'eda. U'mashcham b'dvarav. He was the one that talked them into this. And he pulled them towards him with his words. He told them how all he was trying to do was make their life better. It was all for their good. Until he brought them to a place where they too began to complain against Moshe Aaron. And this was true for Dasan and Aviram and the 250 people who joined. Ukamosha Perish Rashi, and like Rashi tells us in a previous Rashi, Bishvil Shahaya Shevet Ruuvin, Shemi Menu Hayudasam Baviram Bechule, the Ruban Shalharan Ish. Rashi explains that because Shevet Ruuvin was Sharui Shachin the Kahas Uvanav, resided in the formation in their encampment, Reuven was close to Kahas and his children, from which Korach emerged. So it was from Reuven that Dasan and Aviram were from the Shevet Reuven, and most of the 250 people who joined were from Shevet Reuven. And because Korach was so persuasive, Nishtatfuim Korach Machlokoso, they joined Korach in his machloket, in his argument, in his rebellion, in his uprising, in his insurrection against Moshe. Bahainu. He influenced them and he instigated them until it appeared to them that he was correct. But they of their own volition, if not for the agitation and the exercising that Korach did, they wouldn't have entered into this machlokas. and this is very important here in the brackets, because you're probably thinking this. Va'af shebevadai ein lo la'odem lahatzdik es atzmo bisnatz lozu. Of course, a person should not justify his actions with this excuse. She'ein hu ha'ashem b'zeh she'asa davar she'lo k'hogin heyoshen itpata l'zeh al yedei mishehu. A person should never use his excuse that he entered into doing something that is not correct because he was talked into it by somebody else. Ki tzarech ha'adam l'srachik min ha'rasha. Because each one of us has to take responsibility for our own actions, and we have to put distance between ourselves and someone who is the opposite of righteous. V'gam li'os chazak b'dato m'beli l'hitpa'el m'pitur ya'im v'chulu. And we have to be strong in our thought process, and we can't be, we can't submit to everybody's influence like that. Im kolze, but still in all, hare bepoel. But practically speaking, the Rebbe said, the way this unfurled, lo nichlaku al Moshe val Aaron, ella behashpaso shel Korach. But the way it happened here, even though it shouldn't have been this way, in other words, Rebbe is saying, it's true, you shouldn't give people a pass and say, well, they were talked into it. But that's what happened here. In the final analysis, that's what happened. They got talked into it by Korach. Vizuhi kavanas Rashi behaviu mashal lemelech basav adam shesarcha alav miksas medina. And this is why Rashi uses this terminology, sarch surucha, ba'ofen hamaus etel hamelech. Surucha, like I said, it has many, there are many ways of explaining this, but you could also say like it ferments, it goes rotten, it starts to smell, it becomes disgusting towards the king. Kepeir shel surcha kepshuta, avalo shehitkavnu limrod bahamelech. And this is why Rashi does not use the word merida, limrod bahamelech, to rebel against the king. He uses a word for acting scurriously, for acting without respect, for acting in a way that is obnoxious and bothers the king. And especially because, ubefrat ba'ofen she'eschaivu misa avorze, because when you're morid b'malchus, when you rebel against the king, then you're chayav misa. And so Rashi chooses very carefully not to import this word into his parish. Amnam. Hayosu mixas hamadina sorchu al kaponim, hare mistaber sheyesh b'neim mi shehu echad lefachot shehisitam veviam lidei sirchamzeh. But if you have a critical mass of people, and again, remember, we're talking about important people that are engaged in this type of attitude, then you know there has to be at least one instigator that brought them to this place. Ubazegufa harehu chote mamash bimerida neged hamelach. And this way, this one instigator actually is the sinner and the one who rebels against the king. So here the Rebbe has answered a number of questions with explaining one thing, right? Why start with the plural and end with the singular? Why start with the lashon sirchon, end with the lashon chote? Because he's saying there's a difference here, okay? Even though these people came against Moshe time and time again and projected such a vile attitude, still and all, he understood that there was a merida going on by one person. V'zehu shekasav Rashi ve'eino yodeya mi hachote b'loshon yachid. And that's why Rashi says that the king doesn't know who is the sinner, loshon yachid, the sinner, the singular. Hainu hamesis, the instigator, v'hagorim l'hasirchon, and the one that actually kind of started this foment. Ma she'en ken anshe miktas hamadina she'en l'krosom chotem ela shasirchon yeshkan. In contradistinction, the small part of the kingdom that is in the analogy, right? He's calling them people who are engaged in a sirchon, but he's not calling them chotim, sinners. V'lachein v'melech basav adam. When you're talking about a mortal king, mikivan she einu yodea mi hachote, because he doesn't know and he can't know who is that one instigator. harehu nifram mikulam. So he might have to just punish everyone. Sharei bepoel sorchu alav kulam. Because practically speaking, all of them rose up against him. But Moshe saying to Hashem, avalata lifanecha gluyas kol hamachshavos. But before you are manifest all of people's thoughts. V'yodea ata miachote. So you know who is the sinner. V'imkein lo yitachin she'elet shirak. Sorhu, therefore, it just doesn't compute. It's not possible, Moshe says to Hashem, that those who were just involved in this obnoxious behavior, ye anshu ba'onish hachamor shelachote, should get punished with this terrible sin that the one true instigator gets punished, in contradistinction to Sodom and Amora, where all of the people were actually engaged in the terrible and heinous behavior. V'ta'anoso zu shel Moshe. And this complaint of Moshe, Mivara Rashi Umiforsha Betevas Hakasov, with he explains this with the words from the Pasuk, the Einu Deeper Befnei Atzmo, and it's not its own deeper Hamaschil, but he weaves it into his Perush, and he says like this, Ha'ish Echad Hu Hachote, Avol Shara Amrak Sarcho. So Moshe is saying, you know everybody's thoughts, and you know that there's only one man who's a sinner, and you're going to get angry at everybody? So Rashi teaches us that in answering Moshe's complaint, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yafa Marta, Hashem says, you spoke well. And here, Hashem is relating to his whole complaint. Shel Moshe, she'ein lahanish ela es hachote, v'lo elu shirak sarcho. That he shouldn't punish all the people that just were part of this obnoxious behavior, but only the one. Ulam binogel prat, ein hadavar kemo shemoshe haya yodea v'savor shahaya. But generally, Hashem is saying, yafa marta. But specifically, Ein hadavar kamo Moshe, haya yodea v'savar shahaya chote echad, that Moshe knew and Moshe thought that there's only one sinner. Ella sha'ani yodea. And here the Rebbe is resolving why Rashi added not just modia, ani modia, but ani yodea, which the Medrash doesn't have. Because Hashem is saying to Moshe, unlike you, I actually do know, and I will let know, umodia mi chata. Shelo Korach Bavad, it's not just Korach alone that sinned. Elagam Dasan Va'aviram Chatum. Masha Inkin Shara Eda. So Hashem separates Korach, Dasan, and Aviram from the rest of the congregation. Vizehu Sha'amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore in the next pasuk, Hashem says, Healu Misaviv LeMishkan Korach, Dasan Va'aviram. Because all three were sinners. And with this, the Rebbe resolves all of the questions that he raised in looking at this Rashi. And he ends off with the Horah, Horah b'avodas ha'adam, and the lesson that we take from this in our spiritual service. The Pnimius and Yanim, when we look at this a little bit more deeply, Mesubar b'parsha, Sheshalach Moshe l'kro l'dasan l'aviram. We learn that Moshe called to Dasan Aviram. Behem me'anu lavo va'anu ba'azus gedola. They refused to go up. They said lo na'ale, and they answered with tremendous chutzpah. And they said hamat kelisanu. It's not enough that you brought us up. Lamisenu ba'midbar to kill us here. And even if you poke out our eyes, we're not coming, etc., etc. And they provoked Moshe ad asher va'yichar leMoshe ma'od. Moshe became very, very angry. All of this should have been enough to prove definitively that they don't belong in the category of sirchon, of just being obnoxious and scurrilous towards Moshe. Ella shechotim hayu. They were sinners. Ulaachar kol zeh. And after all of this, dana Moshe Rabbeinu lekafschus. He still judge them favorably. Va'amar, and he asked of Hashem, irately, Ish echad yechta, because one man sins, you're going to punish everybody. Umizeh ha-hora. And from this, the Rebbe says, we have to take a lesson. Ad kama tzarech kol echad be-echad. Shebekol echad be-echad yesh be-mefchinas Moshe Rabbeinu olam ha-shalom. How each one of us, because each one of us has a fragment, has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in us, how much each one of us has to lif'ol ul'hashrish b'nafsho midazu, that we have to affect and we have to plant, we have to seed in our soul this attribute, ladun eschavero l'kafschus, to judge everyone favorably. Va'ad shehafilu kishahanhagas chavero hi ba'ofen hashole l'chore kol limutzchus, even when the comportment, the behavior of our friend obviates, it would seem, every possible limud schos, every way of understanding this favorably, bechozot olav lahafech b'schuso uketotza mizeh, hare gam yaseh kolat holibor lahachziru lahamido b'derech hayishara. Still and all, even if it seems like there is no way to understand this positively, we have to turn it around, change the paradigm, and as a result of this, we also have to do everything that we can, everything that is dependent on us, to bring this person or the situation back to a proper place. And I can't really think of a more appropriate hurrah for us to take into our lives. Now it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and we're standing right before Gimel Tammuz. So we're in the Shlosha Simei Hagbalah. And it seems to me that this really encapsulates what the Rebbe wanted of us, what the Rebbe did and what the Rebbe modeled and what he wanted of us. That in every person, every situation, every time, everything that the Rebbe looked at, he turned it inside out and upside down, and he found a way to understand it in a positive light and to take positivity and strength and simcha from that situation. And this is something that I think we can always use, and certainly we can use now, which is a particularly trying time for all of us in the world. And as Hasidim who are facing the 26th Yahrzeit, which seems completely and absolutely impossible to comprehend, we take this hara with us, that we have to be done everything l'kaf schus. We have to find the schus that is in there. We have to find the merit. We have to find the positivity. We have to see the charge that the Rebbe is telling us, I need and I want and I expect for you to go forward and finish this project. Square your shoulders and go forward with strength, and know that by in doing so, if you're going to look with a positive lens, believing is seeing. If you're going to believe that there's positivity to be found here, you will see it, you will affect it, you will accomplish this. So I wish everybody a good Chodesh Tov, and everybody should have a month filled with every conceivable bracha, b'tov hanir v'hanigla. I look forward to seeing you next week. I'm sorry for the interference this week. We're going to find a way to move forward with less of that. Kol tov, everybody.